San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, November 30, 2025. Today's lesson is Hope Springs Eternal with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome home. Let's anchor ourselves in as we do every Sunday. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all the world. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. I say to you this morning, Namaste. The soul, the spirit within me recognizes and greets the soul, the spirit within you, as we are all one. I'm excited today. I'm really excited because the holidays have arrived. We had Thanksgiving. That means we are, boom, right into those holidays. The holidays, the holy days, are upon us. And a lot of people think that this is the most wonderful time of the year. I almost used that as our opening song, the most wonderful time of the year, but I thought, oh no, I like this other one better, when Christmas changed the world, because we're looking at the Christmas season, but not just Christmas. We're looking at this season of light. And at San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, the season of light has been a big deal every year. We have our three big important things that we do every holiday season, and that is our candle lighting. We have the interfaith candle lighting. We have the burning bowl, where we let go of anything that is no longer serving us. And in the first Sunday of the new year, we have our intention setting. And these big things start now. So I'm excited about that. We are going to be celebrating hope, peace, love, and joy during these holy days. And today happens to be the first Sunday of Advent on the Christian calendar. And this first Sunday has hope as its first truth. Advent means to arrive or to come into being. And when we look at Advent with a little a, that's to come into being secularly with inventions. You know, the advent of the communications of the world started with telegraphs and telephones. And look where we are now. Look where we are now. In a spiritual sense, Advent with a capital A means the awakening, the dawning of spiritual consciousness, the preparation and anticipation of the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Christ child into the world. And so during this Advent season, we're going to be preparing our homes, our minds, and our hearts for the joyous celebration of Christmas. Think about it. Christmas, the birth of the child, Jesus of Nazareth, impacted the entire world, and there is no getting away from it. Look at our calendar. Our calendar has before Christ and Anno Domini, or before the Common Era and the Common Era. But it is when Jesus was born. That is when they designate the changing in the old world and the new world, in the old covenants and the new covenants. It's kind of hard to miss how important that is. Advent has been a Yuletide tradition since 600 AD. So it's not like we're inventing something new. This has been around a while. What we do is we light a candle on the four Sundays before Christmas. We have our wreath, our Advent wreath, and then we have three purple and one pink candle. And the purple candles are for hope, peace, and joy, and the pink candle is for love. On Christmas, we put a white candle in the middle, and that represents the birth of Jesus, the opening, the advancement of the Christ consciousness. So for right now, I'm going to light the candle of hope. We can look at a lot of different things. We can look at what hope means. So let's look at the interpretations of hope. Many people think that hope is good to have. After all, hope is better than despair. However, it's a subtle illusion and an unconscious compromise of sorts. Hope in the secular is often nothing more than wishing or dreaming that something would happen. Someone could say, I hope I get that job, or I hope everything works out. However, we also have a spiritual meaning of hope. And that spiritual meaning is the one we use in our Science of Mind teachings. It represents trust, faith, and expectancy. Hope is a knowingness and the quiet expectancy of good. The Science of Mind philosophy and teaching recognizes that there is a divine solution to any problem, even though we may not see it at the time. Hope requires faith in an invisible power and presence. Now remember, and this is very important, remember, all of new thought is rooted into answering one very important question. How did Jesus heal? That is the genesis of new thought. How did Jesus heal? Where did that power come from? Was it his faith? Was it his belief? How can we read the Bible and understand what it is that Jesus used to heal? Now, the Bible was the primary written resource of this investigation. What we know is that the invisible power, I'll tell you what that is later. I'll give you an explanation of hope, and hope is the actual power. The presence of Jesus of Nazareth is the promise of Advent, and I'll tell you that in a few minutes too. In the Holy Scriptures, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, it is written, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So let's talk about the biblical promise of Advent. This has two different references. The first is 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. And the second is 1 Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. So the first, 1 John chapter 5, John is talking about faith in the incarnate Son of God. He's talking about, here is Jesus, who is the Son of the Father, and yet who was born into physical being, Jesus the man, and Jesus the Son of the divine. He writes, "Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son." So this is the testimony that God is giving us. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So that actually is the essence of Christmas. Whoever believes in the sonship of the divine gets it all. Because we are all part of the sonship of the divine. God has given us eternal life, and this life is his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Are you with me on that? You got that? Okay. So Colossians talks about the supremacy of the Son of God. And we think, supremacy? What is he supreme over? Oh, wait. Let me check the Old Testament and the New Testament. Everywhere in the world it says, hey, the Son has the supremacy over the principalities and the powers and this and that, because he's the Son of the divine. So verse 15 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, so this goes to the oneness, the wholeness, the triune nature of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that even though the Son had not yet come to earth as Jesus, that the triune nature of God is what created everything, the source of the universe, the one power, the one presence, the one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation, because our source only had one thing to create with, and that was itself. And so everything that's created is a part of the divine. You and me and everybody on the planet are part of the divine. The plants are part of the divine. The stars are part of the divine. And even in a weird kind of way, those Optimus robots that... Is it Tesla that's making the robots or SpaceX? Tesla?
I think Tesla.
So those robots are actually part of the divine. How can I say that? Because everything that they are made of is sourced through something in this earth. And therefore, all the pieces and the parts that we put together have as their root divine. Some form of the divine. Because we know that the form is simply the demonstration of an idea. Everything starts as an idea, and it comes out as the physical manifestation of the idea. We start with the invisible, with the knowing, with the truth, with the belief, and we move to the visible, because our faith in the invisible is so powerful that the law immediately starts working on it and forms the visible. I love it. And verse 16, it says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. The one who has the Son has it all. So what is included in the all? There are several things, and I would suggest that the first thing is that Advent promises new life in Christ, because it means we now know what God is like. The coming of the Christ gave us a living picture of who God is. Christ's coming put a face on God. Christ's coming put a face on God. Not the only face, but a face. And it allowed us to recognize that each of us, our face, is the face of God. And when we look outward at all the different people we see, We are looking at the face of God. And my little reminder, God comes in many disguises. God on earth in these different people does not always behave in the manner that we expect the presence of God to behave. And that's free will. That's free will. It's our job to recognize that no matter the behavior, within is the essence of the divine. That's what all of us are made up of. And we can hope that people will be loving and kind and pleasant and generous and smart. We can hope that people will meet our expectations, but we have to understand that our expectations are our downfall. When someone doesn't do what we want them to do, that's because we are not controlling them. And if we get our feelings hurt over it, that's on us, because our expectations are our own, and we need to recognize our expectations do not rule the world. And we can then choose to look at things differently. The Bible says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. John 5:19 is one of my favorite verses because, of course, my husband John was born on May 19th, and he had as his license plate John 5:19. And somebody, when he was getting gas, years and years before he became religious, said, "Oh, what verse is that?" And he thought, "Oh, that is a verse, like John 3:16, John 5:19. Mm-hmm. So he looked it up. In John 5:19, Jesus said, "The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." The Father within doeth the works. 1 John 3 verses 1 and 2 says, "See what great love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God, and that is what we are." We are the sons of God. Jesus is the way shower. We are all the sons of the divine. John chapter 14, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So we've got these biblical phrases that are the promise of Advent, saying these things are coming. This spiritual awakening is coming. If you're not already spiritually awake, you can get there. You can get there, because we are all the children of the divine. And everything that Jesus did, he did with the power of the Father within him. He did what he could see the Father do. We get to see those same things. And Jesus is telling us, "Hey, guys, I'm going back to Dad's house. You keep on doing this. You've got the same power." And so we do have this same power. And that power can be called hope. In Romans chapter 15, verse 12 and 13, it says, and again Isaiah says, so he's referring back to the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament, "The root of Jesse," which is Jesus, "will spring up, the one who will rise to rule over nations. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So some of these are underlined. In him will the Gentiles hope. The God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace. You may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's five great points from these two little verses about hope. The sight of our hope, the source of our hope, the serenity of our hope, the sufficiency of our hope, and the supply of our hope. That's a pretty powerful thing. Hope is all of that. So the sight of this hope, in him shall the Gentiles hope. So our hope looks to Jesus and the power of the sonship also that is within us as its constant focus. The source of this hope. He is the God of hope. God is the source of our hope. The creator, our sonship, that which is within us, this power and presence. Ernest Holmes opened his radio program with, "There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it." This power also can be called hope, the power that we can use. The serenity of this hope, all joy and peace in believing. This hope affords us joy and peace even while we're waiting for its fulfillment. The sufficiency of this hope, that you may overflow with hope. God wants to pour this hope into our lives in super abundance. I believe it's in either Isaiah or something else that starts with an M. I always have to look it up. Malachi, thank you. Where God is saying, hey, you guys, trust in me. Have a little faith. Do as I bid you and see if I don't pour open the windows of heaven and pour blessings and abundance down upon you so much that you cannot even measure it. So, yeah, abundance. God wants to pour this hope into our lives in super abundance. And the supply of this hope, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive this abundant hope by the Spirit's power at work in our lives. I would like, and I imagine everyone would like, our lives to be characterized by spiritual hope, and that people will be touched as they see the face of God in each one of us. Hope is the spiritual realization that something greater is about to demonstrate in your life that changes the course of human events. Changes the course of human events. When we look at the Science of Mind teachings, we continually in these teachings go back to the Bible. Ask, believe, and receive. Knock, and the door shall be open. Ask, and it shall be given to you in faith, in accordance with your belief. Ernest Holmes says, we demonstrate at the level of our ability to know. The spiritual mind treatment, which leads to the demonstration, is not for the purpose of making something happen. Rather, it's to provide an avenue within ourselves through which things may happen. That's the essence of Hope Springs Eternal. We do not force anything. We do not wish for something to happen. We spiritually know that it is happening. And in our Science of Mind textbook on page 399, paragraph 5, Ernest writes, "There is a vast difference between holding thoughts and holding things in thought. One is the attempt at an impossible coercion. The other is a mental acceptance. To hold thoughts as though we were forcing issues does no good and utilizes but a fraction of the creative power at our disposal. To hold in thought as though we were letting something happen is to use the greater power, the greatest power of all." I like that when we pray affirmatively and with conviction, the universal creative law of mind immediately connects us with limitless power and energy. As soon as we think of something, the law says, "Oh, yeah, let's go. We're going to make this." As soon as we have any idea, any creative idea in our brain, let's say we want to create a cup, a special Christmas cup, and the law says, "Boom, we got it. Already done here in spirit. Now let's allow it to come visible, allow it to be formed." The divine, the source, us, we are filled with limitless power and energy, and we can use it with as much faith as we have in its existence. We will never demonstrate greater than we can believe. We will always demonstrate in accordance with our belief. And every time we demonstrate, we then have our faith increased, our abilities increased, when we recognize the whole truth that this is all of it is God Spirit working through us as us. And so, I not only hope you have a wonderful holiday this year. I know and I believe that you are having one right here and right now. I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.